Welcome to SCOTUSCast, Government Speech Post-Decision Edition. Thanks for tuning in. On Wednesday, February 25th, the Supreme Court announced its decision in Pleasant Grove City v. Summum. In this case, the Supreme Court considered whether the Tenth Circuit erred by holding that Pleasant Grove City's denial of the Summum religious group's proposal to erect a monument to its seven aphorisms in a municipal park violated their free speech rights. In a unanimous decision by Justice Alito, the court held that permanent monuments placed in public parks are not subject to scrutiny under the Free Speech Clause because they constitute government speech, reversing the Tenth Circuit decision below. To discuss the decision, we welcome University of Toledo Law Professor Lee Strang. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Professor Strang.
Pleasant Grove City v. Summum, decided on February 25, 2009 by the Supreme Court, is an interesting case for three reasons. First, it addresses the constitutionality of the hot-button issue of Ten Commandments displays on public property. Second, Pleasant Grove partially explains the relationship between two important First Amendment doctrines, the government speech doctrine and the public forum doctrine. And third, Pleasant Grove sets the stage for later battles under the Establishment Clause over religious monuments that will now likely be deemed government speech. Before moving on to these three important points, however, I'll first provide a brief overview of the factual, procedural, and legal background of Pleasant Grove. Pleasant Grove City is located in Utah. It was settled in 1850 by Mormon pioneers and today has a population of approximately 29,000 people. Pioneer Park is located in Pleasant Grove's historic district. It contains 15 permanent displays, including a Ten Commandments monument donated by the Fraternal Order of Eagles in 1971. Summum itself is a religious organization founded in 1975 and also in Utah. Summum requested that Pleasant Grove permit it to erect a monument in Pioneer Park, similar in size, scope, and shape to the Ten Commandments monument, but with the seven aphorisms of Summum. The seven aphorisms of Summum summarize Summum's teachings. Pleasant Grove declined Summum's request, saying that the city's policy was to include only those monuments that related to the history of Pleasant Grove. Summum sued in federal court, arguing that the city's denial of permission violated the Free Speech Clause because the city discriminated against Summum's speech based on its content without a compelling state interest to support the discrimination. The district court ruled for the city. The Tenth Circuit Court of Appeals reversed and accepted Summum's argument that its proposed monument was private speech, not government speech, and therefore was protected by the Free Speech Clause. The Tenth Circuit ruled that Pleasant Grove did not have a compelling interest to justify its content-based discrimination, that is, only monuments related to Pleasant Grove's history, against Summum's speech. The Supreme Court granted Pleasant Grove's petition for certiorari. Before the Supreme Court, the parties relied on separate lines of cases. Pleasant Grove cited relatively recent government speech precedents and argued that the monuments in Pioneer Park were its own government speech. Therefore, it argued, the Free Speech Clause did not apply to what monuments it chose to include or exclude from the park. Summum, by contrast, argued that the monuments in Pioneer Park were private speech and pointed to the long-standing case law which held that public parks are public fora. Therefore, Pleasant Grove could not exclude its private speech, while at the same time permitting the Eagles' Ten Commandments monument without a compelling state interest, which it didn't have. That's the factual and procedural background. Now let me speak briefly about the relevant legal background. The government speech doctrine is of relatively recent vintage, often traced to the 1991 case, Russ v. Sullivan, where the Supreme Court ruled that the federal government could promote childbirth while at the same time discouraging abortion through its family planning programs. Under the government speech doctrine, government favoring its own message at the expense of contrary speech is not subject to free speech clause scrutiny. Defenders of the government speech doctrine argue that the government not only should promote its values, they argue that government in many situations must promote its own value judgments that privilege some speech and discriminate against other speech. For example, the Voice of America radio broadcasts privilege democracy and discriminate against non-democratic ideas. The public forum doctrine, by contrast, is a long-standing part of First Amendment law. It states that in some government property, called public fora, the government cannot favor some messages and disfavor other speech. The public speech doctrine, its proponents argue, is meant to provide sufficient space, geographic and otherwise, for the expression of the diverse viewpoints necessary for a flourishing democracy. The court has struggled to articulate when these doctrines apply, and critics have challenged the results in many of these cases as arbitrary. The key appears to be whether the government intended to promote its message or whether it intended to open a space for other messages, including those with which it disagreed. In Pleasant Grove, the Supreme Court announced the categorical rule that permanent monuments and public parks are, absent unusual circumstances, government speech, and thereby not subject to the Free Speech Clause scrutiny. The court reviewed the history of permanent monuments and public parks, finding that governments have immemorially used monuments to express the government's view. This includes monuments donated to the government by private parties that the government then places in parks. In the United States, the court noted, governments have exercised discretion in deciding which monuments to accept. This occurred in Pleasant Grove City, the court found, where the city included only those monuments, including the Ten Commandments monument, that related to the city's history. The Supreme Court also ruled that the public forum doctrine was inapplicable to permanent monuments. This was because monuments, unlike speeches, permanently occupy limited park space. More importantly, the court stated, governments could not operate public parks under the restraints of the public forum doctrine because the government would be obliged to close the parks to monuments, because otherwise they would have to accept all monuments on an equal basis. The immediate practical result of Pleasant Grove is that public parks that contain Ten Commandments monuments may, consistent with the Free Speech Clause, continue to display them and need not accept other monuments inconsistent with the government's message. In doing so, the Supreme Court clarified, at least to some extent, the relationship between government speech doctrine and the public forum doctrine. Long term, however, it is not clear how the court's ruling in Pleasant Grove will affect Establishment Clause challenges to religious monuments on public property. One could argue that government adoption of religious monuments as its own speech is itself an establishment of religion. In Pleasant Grove, the court was clear that its ruling did not automatically foreclose an Establishment Clause challenge to Pleasant Grove's adoption of the Ten Commandments monument as its own government speech. Many of the justices, in concurrence, foreshadowed how such a challenge would play out. Justice Scalia, for example, argued that an establishment challenge would fail because the Ten Commandments monument was nearly identical to the one upheld in Van Orden v. Perry, which involved the Ten Commandments monument on the Texas Capitol's state grounds. Notably, only Justice Thomas signed on to Justice Scalia's concurrence. Justice Souter seemed to propose that the so-called endorsement test from the Establishment Clause context should be used for both government speech and establishment issues. Given the fractured court on this issue, it is not clear how the court will navigate the relationship between the government speech doctrines and future Establishment Clause challenges to religious monuments on public property.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. For more episodes of SCOTUSCast, as well as audio and video from past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at federalistsociety.org/multimedia.